come and experience a Messianic Roots biblically based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat and Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath. Revolution NMR LLC reminds listeners to honor our military members. Without their courage, we would be unable to enjoy the freedoms granted to us in the Constitution. Let's salute those who have given their lives in the line of duty, as well as those who serve today. Show your appreciation by sending a care package to our troops. Contact your local veterans organization for more information. This reminder has been from Revolution NMR LLC in Fort Collins, creator of Scientific Instruments.
Well, good morning. Dr. Stan here at the American Freedom Network. And the foundation of our freedom is a limitation of the power of the central government over the lives of the people. There are those who want to control every aspect of our lives, who believe in the dictatorship, who believe in a ruling elite have the right to rule. For as David Rockefeller told a friend of mine, certainly some men are born to rule. Most men are born to be ruled. And this is really what it's all about, a small group of very wealthy and powerful people who want to control every aspect of our lives and create a world government, and are using the financial and military power of the United States to bring this about. And then those who want to be free, who want to adhere to the laws of our land, which is still the Constitution, despite the fact that it is being systematically dismantled by those who control the media, and very, very subtly, very slowly, ever increase the power of the federal government over every aspect of our lives. Well, one of the most disastrous pieces of legislation ever passed is the NDAA, I think it's the National Defense Appropriations Act, and this, of course, is passed in the name of protecting us from those wicked communists, because if they want to disrupt our government, nobody ever points out we finance the terrorist movements since inception. Certainly all throughout the Middle East, the Near East. I mean, who's financing the terrorist, Al-Qaeda terrorists there in Syria? Why, your tax money, ladies and gentlemen. But who is financing the terrorist movement in America? And is this justified, the NDAA? Well, with us this morning is a gentleman who's been studying this for some time. His name is Dan Johnson, and he's going to talk to us about the NDAA, which is one of the most dangerous pieces of legislation ever enacted, and I suspect an awful lot of the congressmen who voted for it had no idea. In fact, they don't really even read a lot of the bills, and unfortunately these things are put through, and of course they expand the power of government. And if the American people don't care about the move towards dictatorship, then freedom as we know it will soon become simply a remembrance of things past. Good morning, Dan. Thank you for being with us.
Good morning, sir. Thank you for having me on.
You go right ahead and tell us about the legislation and why we should be concerned.
Absolutely. So the NDAA, or National Defense Authorization Act, is usually a military funding bill. Usually it provides and authorizes funding for armed forces, and that's about as far as it goes. However, since 9/11, it has become the haystack bill, so large that people start throwing needles in. For example, 2007, we had the John Warner National Defense Authorization Act, which authorized a military unit to operate on U.S. soil, only on U.S. soil, and for civil disobedience and crowd control purposes. Now, that was later repealed in 2009, but it set the stage for the 2012 NDAA, which in a nutshell authorized the indefinite military detention of any person, including American citizens, on U.S. soil or anywhere in the world, without a charge or without a trial or military trials or extraordinary rendition, transfer to a foreign country, several things under the law of war, completely violating over six amendments of the Bill of Rights and several sections of the Constitution itself, making this in terms of the sections of the Constitution it violates, one of the most dangerous laws in U.S. history, and it was signed by the president on December 31st, 2011.
Well, do you think that the average American really understands the implication of this legislation? Do they really understand this is not all about terrorism, but the loss of our freedom?
I don't even think they know about it, Doctor.
Well, why don't you sort of pick this up? And what are the implications? How has this legislation been utilized? Has it been utilized? And with what consequences?
Absolutely. So the law of war or military rule over the United States has a little bit of a history here in this country. We've used it over the entire country only twice, to my knowledge. The first time was Proclamation 94 in the Civil War, where Abraham Lincoln suspended habeas corpus, but did much more than that. Because even though the order was called suspending habeas corpus in the United States, the effects of it were much different, and in that order, it said those who are disloyal to the government, we placed under military jurisdiction. We detained over 15,000 Northerners and executed several of them during that period. And then, under President Franklin Delano Roosevelt, FDR, we passed Executive Order 9066. That authorized, even though it said nothing about detention, only said that the military shall have jurisdiction over certain areas of the country, was used as authorization to detain 120,000 Japanese Americans without charge, without trial. And the Supreme Court then upheld that in Korematsu. Then you came around to today, the 2012 NDAA enforces the law of war on American soil, creating, in essence, a two-track court system. So if you're covered under the NDAA, which I'll get into covered persons in a second, if you're covered under NDAA, then they can choose, if you're an American citizen or you're someone on U.S. soil, they can choose whether or not to detain you under NDAA or to give you your constitutional rights, or to recognize, rather, your constitutional rights. What happens when they use the powers that the 2012 NDAA relies on? Two American citizens, Anwar al-Awlaki and his son, Abdurrahman al-Awlaki, 2 weeks later, were killed in separate drone strikes. Under the authority the NDAA relies on, two American citizens were assassinated. Now, the NDAA, the 2012 NDAA, which I'll colloquially refer to the two provisions, sections 10.21 and 10.22, as the detention provisions. These detention provisions widen the scope of the authorization for use of military force, which is what we put in place that was tied directly to 9/11, that started the official quote-unquote war on terror. They broadened the scope of these sections to include, under section 1021b2, a person who is a part of or substantially supported Al-Qaeda, the Taliban, or associated forces that are engaged in hostilities against the United States or its coalition partners, including any person who's committed belligerent acts.
Hold that thought. Hold that thought. We'll be back in a moment with Dan Johnson.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tom Phillips, founder of The Green Herb.
All of God's people have a ministry, and it's a trick of our enemy to keep God's people sick and worn out to hinder their ability to minister. We are often judgmental toward people who are addicted to booze, cigarettes, and drugs, but we at the Green Herb have found that most of God's people are unknowingly addicted to the two most addictive products in America, sugar and soda pop. If you have a sickness or disease, or if you're just tired a lot, the Green Herb has an herbal product that is formulated just for you, and it's just $15.95. Come by the Green Herb, located in Wheat Ridge, Colorado, on the I-70 Frontage Road North, 1 mile west of Kipling, or call 888-765-HERB, that's 888-765-4372, or go to our website, www.thegreenherb.com, and be sure to listen to The Green Herb Show with Linda and Dr. Cass every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on KHNC.
Hi, I'm Eric Cederstrom for the Patriot Trading Group and AllAmericanGold.com. I'd like to take this opportunity to thank all of the listeners who've supported us throughout the years and helped keep the radio stations going. I've had a chance to meet many of you face-to-face and enjoyed every minute of it. For two decades, I've worked hard to keep our service fast and our prices low, and will strive to keep going for another two. Patriot Trading Group and AllAmericanGold.com have no commission salespeople, no free reports, and no complaints. Nobody here will call you when you sit down for dinner. There really is a difference. Call 1-800-951-0592 and find out for yourself. We look forward to serving you with years of experience. We know what we are doing and will make recommendations based on your personal situation. Call 1-800-951-0592 and you'll be treated with honesty and respect. You have my word on it. I'm Eric Cederstrom, CEO, shipping clerk, and janitor.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest this morning, Dan Johnson. We're talking about the NDAA, National Defense Authorization Act, and it was utilized certainly to have a gentleman who is living over in Afghanistan, although he's an American citizen, to have him assassinated, whether he was African, whether he was Pakistan or Afghanistan, but aren't we justified in defending America? Certainly, wasn't this man directing a terrorist attacks on Americans or killing Americans? Oh, was the justification of the father justified from a military point of view? Dan, are you there?
Hello. Yes, I believe I'm here. I missed that first little part where you were talking there.
Well, basically, of course, was there a justification to defend America to actually assassinate the father? Was he involved with terrorist activity? Was he directing terrorist attacks on Americans? Were we justified in having him killed?
As far as Anwar al-Awlaki, who I mentioned, the government claimed there was evidence of terrorists, and they claimed that he was directing terrorist attacks or encouraging them on Americans. So, however, if they claim such a thing, he would have been aiding and abetting our enemies, and therefore would have fallen under the treason clause, which is very strict and very specific for a reason. The founding fathers wanted to make sure that a high crime of treason, which is very difficult to charge someone with, but high crime of treason, which carries such a strong consequence, would have to meet a very strict criminal standard. That is either A, confession in open court, or B, the testimony of two witnesses for the same overt act. And instead of following these procedures, if the government truly had the evidence they needed to convict this man, instead of following the procedures, they had a few men in a dark room decide that they were going to take him out.
All right, now what about his son, Sirti? Were they authorized in killing his son?
They claimed that his son was killed in a collateral damage attack, as it were. So they claimed they were going after another operative of Al-Qaeda, and his son, who's an American citizen from Colorado, happened to be also in the truck, and they killed his son that way. That's their claim. Now, whether or not one believes that claim is up for debate, but if they're going to experience such collateral damage as a 16-year-old boy, it would make sense not to fire. And they did nonetheless. And so that would be at least one American citizen, three American citizens they've admitted to killing. I can't remember the names of the other two, but Attorney General Eric Holder admitted to in a letter earlier this year. But one American citizen, 16-year-old, they definitely did kill. Now, they don't claim they did it on purpose, but it happened nonetheless, and were I at the helm of that drone, I would say that with collateral damage to a 16-year-old boy, it might be worthy not to fire.
Well, the fact that he was, though, over in a potential combat zone, does that make it more certainly justifiable? I mean, people just traveling over there, apparently, the story was that this young boy was looking for his father, trying to find out what had happened to him and was killed. It seemed to me that they actually knew who they were killing. Do they claim now that they really didn't know that they were killing the son of this gentleman that already assassinated?
They claim. That's exactly what they claim. And I think that's very dangerous for us to even think about, because what if that was an American citizen here on U.S. soil? The filibuster that Senator Rand Paul had earlier this year, he may as well have mentioned NDAA. He should have, because the 2012 NDAA was the authorization to do exactly what Attorney General Eric Holder had claimed they would be able to do with a drone strike on American soil. And the letter that the senator got back from the Attorney General was filled with enough loopholes to make a Swiss cheese sandwich. And so the Attorney General and the Department of Justice has already laid out their justification for killing American citizens. And now you take what they've done, whether they claim they didn't know or claim that they did, and it was justified. Either way is extremely dangerous, because they could make that exact same excuses about Americans on U.S. soil. And I think that that is wrong. I think that's a violation of constitutional rights. And at the very least, if you're going to fire and you claim not to know this blood was there, you know the son of Anwar al-Awlaki, a man you just killed 2 weeks earlier, then that shows a very strong lack of ethics. And I have a feeling that that lack of ethics could be applied on American soil under this power.
Well, is anybody really concerned about this? Certainly this is not a major issue in the media, that they killed the father and then separately they killed the son. And certainly there is very little evidence that the son in any way was involved, or to my knowledge, no evidence the son was involved in terrorism. Is anybody held responsible for killing an American citizen just accidentally?
Currently, no one is being held responsible. In fact, when Robert Gibbs was approached at a debate by a journalist group known as We Are Change and asked specifically why did they kill Abdulrahman al-Awlaki, Anwar al-Awlaki's 16-year-old son, the man responded that Abdulrahman, quote, should have had better parents, end quote.
And so really, nobody's really concerned that they killed him, and nobody's held responsible, and nobody's punished for this. Is that correct?
That's absolutely correct. And we have no idea how many other American citizens they've killed. In fact, they like I mentioned before, Attorney General Eric Holder came out with a letter earlier this year talking about 2 other American citizens that they had killed with drone strikes. So we're up at 4, and I don't know how many more there is.
Well, what can be done? What, from your point of view, what is the real danger of NDAA? Is it being applied in any way here in the United States? As long as it's not applied in the United States, is there anything really to worry about?
Something that is very concerning, a couple things are very concerning about the 2012 NDAA. Number one, when Judge Catherine Forrest heard the case Hedges v. Obama, which is a case in which 7 journalists and activists challenged 2012 NDAA's detention provisions, she asked the government if they were using these provisions, as she had issued a preliminary injunction before this hearing. This is the second hearing on her permanent injunction. She asked the government, are you using these provisions in violation of my temporary injunction? And the government refused to respond. Now, you ask your kid, did he steal from the cookie jar? And he stands there and looks at you like, shrugs his shoulders. You don't exactly assume that he hasn't been eating your cookies. And secondly, regardless of whether or not this power is used, the very fact the president has this power, and journalists know this, the very fact the president has this power has a chilling effect on journalism. Also in court, Chris Hedges testified there were some stories he did not release because he knew the president had his power. It has a chilling effect on free speech, has a chilling effect on journalism, and the fear factor of this law alone, even if it were never to be used, is enough for it to be dangerous and for us to need to stand up and get rid of it and say enough and refuse to enforce and refuse to allow it to be enforced in states, cities, and counties across the country.
Well, now, was this actually a piece of legislation voted on by Congress, or was this enacted by executive order?
Piece of legislation introduced by Senators Carl Levin and John McCain, voted on 283-136 in the House and 93-7 in the Senate, and then signed by the President with bipartisan support.
And yet, of course, the average American has never heard of this sort of thing. This is not something that's really brought out in the mass media. It's not certainly repeatedly discussed. You have to discuss things often before they focus on the mind of the American people. Do you think the average American really cares?
When we've gone to the average American, we've talked to them about this, they have cared, and they've started to care, because it's not a far-off idea. It is something that the United States has actually done here before with Japanese Americans, and they understand this. And so when we bring this issue to average Americans and they understand the implications of it, or even if they don't understand the implications of it, on average, when we bring this issue to them, they're shocked. And very shocked that mainstream media would not cover it. Very shocked that this would not be everywhere. I mean, I think the closest to coverage this got was 30 minutes on the Rachel Maddow show. And that's it. NSA spying, which is merely them watching over everything you do instead of actually taking you because of it, has gotten weeks of mainstream media coverage. And the NDAA has not been touched, not once.
So what do you think our listeners should do?
So, number one, educate yourself and educate others. It's a very, very important thing to understand and a very important thing for your family and your friends to understand. Number two, we've put together a take-back packet. This allows you to take back your town, take back your city, take back your county, take back your state eventually. Now, what this has is a resolution that invokes the Constitution on the law of war, the backbone of NDAA. That gives you the groundwork, the foundation, to then go and talk to your law enforcement. And then we set up a rapid response team in every city and every county where we do this. And I recommend all your listeners go to Panda Unite, Panda, P-A-N-D-A, Unite, U-N-I-T-E, .org, /takeback. Or just put in Panda Takeback in Google. This is the Take Back campaign. This is not joining an organization. This is downloading a packet of information that contains everything you need to stop the NDAA in your town. We've already got three towns. Albany, New York on October 7th, Oxford, Massachusetts on October 9th, and just yesterday, Webster, Massachusetts, the people of Webster voted just about unanimously, to block the NDAA and the laws of war in their city. It's starting to work across the country, and people all across America are grabbing this take-back packet, going into their city councils, going into their county commissions, and asking them to uphold their oath to the Constitution and stop any military indefinite detention from happening in their city and in their county. And that kind of grassroots support is where you have to stop a law so voted in by Congress, and again, the 2013 NDAA passed with no changes to the 2012. Again and again, voted in by Congress. The next step is your local government, because they're closest to you and they take an oath to uphold the Constitution.
All right. Well, certainly this is not getting a great deal of play because the media in America is rigidly controlled by six major corporations, all of which tie into what I call the invisible government, this small group, this small elite group, which is using the financial and military power of the United States to bring about a world government. And the last thing they want, of course, for the American people to know the truth about what's going on, and so certain stories are played up. But the really important stories, those that advance the authoritarian power of government and allow them to kill American citizens, and certainly I think before anybody is killed, they deserve a trial. His father had no trial, no opportunity to defend himself. We're simply told we have to trust them. But to kill a 16-year-old boy, I don't know how you can justify that. And the problem that really bothers me is most Americans don't care, and they should, because next time it could be their son or someone that is close to them. Would you agree with that thought, Dan?
I agree. I agree that, number one, you should not be scared, but number two, you should realize the implications of this and realize that, yes, it could be your son next. Yes, it could be your daughter next. And that's where they're heading with this. They're looking at America, looking at American soil. So I agree, absolutely.
If you're out there in the listening audience, you have a question or comment, our number is 877-254-7524. 877-254-7524. The controlled media doesn't discuss this. People don't think about it. Time we begin to understand freedom is under attack by people who have a different worldview.
Should a natural or man-made disaster hit, do you have the will, the skill, and the gear? Gear up with Preparedness Gear, a full-service store located at I-25 and Highway 52, exit 235, just south of McDonald's. We have your survival needs. Long-term storage, food, water filtration, bulk grains, bug-out bags, survival equipment, and a comprehensive selection of educational books. Visit us online at preparednessgear.com for upcoming classes or call us toll-free at 888-981-9810. That's 888-981-9810. Get your gear on! Great Plains Power has been providing reliable electrical power systems in the Rocky Mountain area since 1992. Our systems rely on the sun to help make you self-reliant for your power needs. Solar energy can be scaled to fit any situation, from complete power independence to backup power for the short term. Our expertise focuses on standalone power, but we have extensive experience with utility interactive systems as well. Custom-tailored capabilities as modest as emergency lighting all the way to commercial-scale power. Great Plains Power is a full-service company. We service everything we sell. We provide and design turnkey packages, custom-designed system, and parts for do-it-yourself. With more than 20 years of specialized experience at your disposal, let us know what your power concerns or goals are. Reach us by phone or the Internet. Call 303-239-9963. That's 303-239-9963. Or go to greatplainssolar.com. Article 4. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrant shall be issued but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the places to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. Now this is the testimony of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Messiah." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" And he answered, "No." The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 19 through 21. Whether you're in automotive, sporting goods, hardware, health, wellness, electrical, electronics, construction, carpet cleaning, legal, or animal care, and offer exceptional customer service and provide quality services or goods, you're honest, reliable, and professional. If you have a business, we have the customers. Let us put you in touch with our loyal, supportive, and dedicated listeners today. They're waiting to hear from you. It's inexpensive. It's effective. Call KHNC at 1-800-205-6245.
Well, Dr. Stan here at the American Freedom Network, our guest Dan Johnson. Our telephone number, if you have a question or comment, 877-254-7524. 877-254-7524. Dan, how can people get in touch with your organization and certainly learn more about what you're trying to accomplish?
I was told one time by a now is a good friend of mine, Ernest Hancock, Freedom's Phoenix. As I was discussing the structure of our organization, he said, "So we've got a bigger collective, we're going to fight against your collective, and collectively, we're going to push back against collectivism." And he made me think. So since that point, we've really decentralized. Panda has become the support network for we're now up to nearly 100 activists across the country that are taking on their town, taking on their council, taking on their county. We are now the support network for them. And so the best way for someone to get involved, we are the ones we're waiting for. And the best way for someone to get involved, as I mentioned before, is go to pandaunite.org/takeback, or just put in Panda or People Against the NDAA Take Back and download that packet. In there, there's contact information for everyone from our law enforcement advisor to our event coordinator to myself, the legislative team, all there to help you take back your town. But it's up to you. If the American people don't stand up, then we don't have an America to live in. It's up to every revolution has a group of organizations and key figures in the middle, and the rest is spontaneous, impulsive, and important action. And that's what the Take Back the Town campaign is it's that action, it's that decentralization. So if for some reason we can't get in touch with someone, or goodness forbid that they decide that I'm the next target and take me off to Guantanamo Bay or drone strike me, it doesn't matter. The information's out there. People have the tools to take back their town. So again, Panda Take Back, pandaunite.org/takeback. That's the best way to get in touch with us, but it's also the best way to take back your town and make sure the NDAA and the powers behind it are not used in your city.
Well, now, how is the NDAA being utilized in the United States today? We know how it was utilized overseas to justify two murders, and I think they were considered murders, because neither one of these people has ever been brought before the bar of justice. How is NDAA being utilized here in the United States?
The biggest problem is we don't know. As I mentioned before, when Judge Catherine Forrest asked the government if they were using those detention provisions in the United States in violation of her order, they didn't answer. And so I think that is one of the more dangerous parts about it, is we really don't know. They're not telling us why. They're not telling us how they're using it. Kind of like the NSA spying. The secret courts are not releasing evidence, and the classified briefings are not releasing evidence to the American people of what is going on with this surveillance state. And the same with NDAA. They're not releasing evidence. In fact, the only thing that might require them to report anything is in the 2014 NDAA, there's a section in there introduced by, I believe, Representative Trey Radel that would require them to report to Congress any Americans who are detained under NDAA. But that doesn't do the American people any good. And we really probably will never know how this law is being used. And that's why it's so important to not just go to Congress for a repeal, to not just go to the Supreme Court for a strike down, but to go into the local communities and counties and cities and watch out for the implementation of this law there, and make sure the law enforcement is advised that this is unconstitutional, and make sure that your local government is advised this is unconstitutional. That's why it's so important to handle this from a very, very grassroots perspective, because we don't know where or when they're implementing it. And the ultimate safeguard of the Constitution, as Thomas Jefferson once stated, is the people themselves. And that's what we're working with.
Well, does this have anything to do with the fact that they're listening to all of our telephone conversations, and they've lied about it, and the president went on the Jay Leno program and lied to the American people, just like Colin Powell went before the American people to justify the attack on Iraq that killed 500,000 Iraqis? Oh, they've got weapons of mass destruction. That's why we've got to go to war there. And we killed about 6,000 Americans. We killed 500,000 Iraqis because Colin Powell lied to the American people about the weapons of mass destruction. And I heard the president on Jay Leno say, we're not listening to your telephone conversations. We wouldn't do that. And he was lying, and he knew he was lying. Is this part of NDAA, this idea of reading all of our emails and reading all of our faxes and keeping these permanently recorded electronically and listening to our conversations? Is this part of NDAA, or is that something completely separate?
Well, keep in mind that the justification for these encroachments on our liberty is a war, is the war on terror. With the National Security Agency, it is supposed to operate only outside of United States soil. I'm not mistaken, it is the Department of Defense Agency, Armed Forces. But the fact that they're spying on us here in America, the fact that we have 72 fusion centers is an idea taken from the battlefield where they gather intelligence from different agencies and put it together to form a picture of the environment. It's all part of, as Lindsey Graham, Senator Lindsey Graham on the Senate floor during debates on the 2012 NDAA put it, the world is the battlefield, including the homeland, and people can be held without trial, whether an American citizen or not. The NSA surveillance that we're looking at, the FBI and Department of Homeland Security surveillance, is all part of this idea that America is a battlefield, not in peacetime. And that's the way it all ties in. We're utilizing, we're giving the military ultimate jurisdiction over America, just like in the response to the Boston Marathon bombings in Watertown, Massachusetts. The military led that, not law enforcement. The military led that. It was under military rule, which is colloquially known as martial law in Boston. Just like that, and just like Big Bear Lake, California, Chris Dorner case of the cop who allegedly killed several others in L.A., who was then firebombed in a cabin. This and other cases is part of turning America, not in a peacetime era, but into a permanent battlefield. And that is an extremely dangerous concept because the American law of war doesn't provide any constitutional protections, or very few, if any. And they're trying to make that, instead of the Constitution, the supreme law of the land by using the military and military powers such as NSA surveillance on American soil.
Well, what sort of response are you getting as you tell this story to audiences across America? Are people really concerned? Hold on.
Not only are...
Back in a moment. Hold there. And if you're out there in the listening audience, you have a concern or question, 877-254-7524. Right.
Should a natural or man-made disaster hit, do you have the will, the skill, and the gear? Gear up with Preparedness Gear, a full-service store located at I-25 and Highway 52, exit 235, just south of McDonald's. We have your survival needs. Long-term storage, food, water filtration, bulk grains, bug-out bags, survival equipment, and a comprehensive selection of educational books. Visit us online at preparednessgear.com for upcoming classes or call us toll-free at 888-981-9810. That's 888-981-9810. Get your gear on. With winter approaching, let's all keep an extra special eye out for our senior citizens. Check on them on a regular basis, especially when the weather is cold. Make sure they have what they need. Someday we'll all be in that position, and wouldn't you like to have someone watch out for you? That's from Brush Housing Authority, reminding listeners for housing programs, call 970-845-5046. That's 970-845-5046. Brush Housing Authority, wishing everyone a great and safe fall and upcoming winter season. If you own a firearm, it's important to have proper training. Or if you're considering purchasing a firearm for self-defense, it's important to know the right person to train with. Josh at D&M TAC is a federally licensed firearms dealer, certified NRA instructor with a great firearms training course. Want more confidence with the operation of your firearm or to increase your precision and advance your level of training? This is the place. The hands-on in-depth classroom curriculum includes 4 hours of extensive range practice and basic firearms training, malfunction training, self-defense mindset, concealment training, and more, all at the greatest value in the gun training industry. If you want to learn proper firearm skills the right way, the first time, and want to surpass your current skill level, Josh at D&M TAC has the firearms training course for you. This course also qualifies you to apply for concealed carry permit and for advanced training. Beginner or advanced, tactical or defense, call 720-323-2534. That's 720-323-2534 and ask Josh about your KHNC listener discount.
Well, Dr. Stan, our guest is Morning Dan Johnson, with Panda Unite, and of course concerned about the NDAA, and you're not hearing much about this. We live in a wonderful country. We have prosperity you can't believe. Certainly, 48 million people who are getting food stamps and certainly can supplement their income with food stamps. And then we have our unemployment benefits. We have housing benefits. We have the educational subsidies. We have free health care if you don't under Medicaid. We have 100 million Americans either on Medicare or Medicaid. This is about as close to utopia as you're going to get. The only trouble is it's all being done on borrowed money. We're having to borrow almost, $85 billion a month right now. It may very well be going up to be able to finance all of this. And where's the money coming from? Well, they're creating it out of nothing. And one of these days, this whole thing is going to break down. We're going to have runaway inflation. We're going to see, I think, the... But then what happens when you take away the entitlements from 48 million Americans? Well, we saw this last week, demonstrating in the stores people are entitled to be taken care of. And what do you foresee happening down the line, Dan? Do you see we're going to have political instability in America? And at that point, what will happen?
Well, it's impossible to predict the future, as you know. But one can look at trends and see a general idea of what might be happening in the future. And obviously, the United States dollar has lost 98% of its value since its first introduction. So we're looking at a declining dollar. We're looking at China saying that we're not going to trade in American dollars. We're going to start trading in gold. We're going to start trading in yuan. And so you're starting to see this rejection of the American dollar as reserve currency. So it's a possibility that this could lead to a very strong economic downturn. But the pieces are being put in place just in case that were to happen. So we've seen what happens with people and what people turn into, unfortunately, when they're given a blank check and said, run with it. We saw that in the Walmarts, I believe, in Alabama. People were essentially given a blank check, and they essentially looted the entire store. And you see the problem, I think, with all of this is the NDAA was put in place to crush political activism, to crush dissent. The only way we're going to turn this around is if we, the people, turn it around. And it's very difficult at this point. I think there's a very small window where we have a chance to. But the only way we're going to turn it around is if we, the people, turn it around. And I think the NDAA plays into this very well, because with the NDAA, they may not do another mass roundup. They may not do another, hey, let's put all you guys in camps because we're in war. But what they might do is they might say, well, you know, you're Mr. Activist, you're really engaged with this, and we know if we cut off the head of this organization, then all of a sudden, there's nothing left. We cut off the head and the organization flounders. And so they might start detaining top activists, maybe underground activists, but top activists nonetheless. And the danger of the NDAA is it blocks political activism, regardless of what you believe in, on what side of the spectrum. It blocks political activism to change what you believe needs to be changed. It puts a chilling effect on it, and it allows those activists to legally be detained without a charge and without a trial, and the government can even justify that. And I think that's the extreme danger here is what we might be heading for. I would say only God can predict. But what we can do to stop it is the reason that these laws are being put in place, prevent us from doing what we need to do and engaging what we need to engage in to stop this from happening.
I think it's vitally important that people understand there really is a small group that wants a dictatorship in America. They're well organized, they're well financed, they have their agents in the army, they control the banking, the interlocking directorates on our corporations, Certainly they have their leaders and the leadership of both political parties. Both political parties are in favor, certainly, of globalism and using the financial and military power of the United States to bring about a world government, which is why we have our troops stationed in 130 nations, why we have a well over 800, probably closer to 1,000 foreign military bases. What does this have to do with preserving freedom? Absolutely nothing. It has to do with establishing a world government and utilizing our financial and military power. But they need the ability to have an authoritarian society in America. I think this is certainly the NDAA is a stepping stone towards the loss of freedom here in America. Would you agree or disagree with that, Dan?
I would agree, and I might take it slightly further, because when you give the president power of a dictator to kill at will, to assassinate at will, then can you really say you live in a constitutional republic? Can you really say that you live in a republic when you have the executive branch has the power to assassinate or detain anyone it disagrees with for any reason? I'm not sure if you can hold it up to that standard. I think that's the very definition of a police state from the Merriam-Webster's dictionary. So I'm not sure if you could even hold the United States up to that standard. I think that it's not a matter of us jumping over the cliff. It's a matter of how hard we hit when we hit the bottom and what spikes are at the bottom to skewer us. And it's up to us, the American people, to, and that's why I advocate going to city and a county level. It's up to us, the American people, to sever ourselves little by little from Washington's control and from Washington's power. And when you start severing yourself, either they'll start pulling themselves in or they'll crash and burn without the American people. And I think that's where interposition really comes into play. The state and local governments interposing between the people and what is now a rogue federal government. I think that's really something to understand, is you don't have to try to fix the sinking ship. Just push away from the sinking ship. Just push away from the crashing spaceship. It's very simple. And I think that's something Americans and people need to do more.
Well, this is the subversive movement, ladies and gentlemen. The subversive movement. The subversives are in control. Dan, thanks very much for everything you're doing. Keep up the great work. We'll be back in a moment to wrap up the program.
No state shall enter into any treaty, alliance, or confederation, grant letters of marque or reprisal, coin money, emit bills of credit, make anything but gold and silver coin a tender in payment of debts, pass any bill of attainder, ex post facto law, or law impairing the obligation of contracts, or grant any title of nobility. Article 1, Section 10.
And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 16.
Fort Collins Radiator Shop reminds listeners the effects of child abuse are devastating. For those who survive, the pain inflicted upon them as children will often influence their entire lives. If you or someone you know needs help, contact your local authorities immediately. This message from Fort Collins Radiator Shop, 417 Jefferson Street in Fort Collins. For all your radiator repair needs, they have 47 years of experience, family owned and operated. Call 970-482-6783. That's 970-482-6783. Western Stone Company takes this time out to recognize and salute the men and women in uniform around the world standing tall for our political and economic freedom. This holiday season, let's remember them in our thoughts, prayers, and letters from home. Their efforts abroad and our support at home keep America strong. That's from Paul and his family and the professionals at Western Stone Company, serving our listening area with quality service, reliability, and integrity. Call 303-823-6404. That's 303-823-6404. They're on the air because they care about our troops.
Well, Dr. understand, and how do you really understand what's going on in the world today? What you have to understand is a small group of very wealthy and powerful people who want a world dictatorship under their control. How can you document that? Well, one of the best things is to read Professor Quigley's book, Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World in Our Time. Who is Professor Quigley? Why, he was the gentleman who Bill Clinton named as his mentor when he accepted the Democratic nomination for the presidency in 1992. And basically, you can go up on the internet and see there, Bill Clinton got up. He's accepting the Democratic National Committee nomination, and he says, you know, when I was a student at high school, I heard President Kennedy's call to citizenship, and then when I was a student at Georgetown University, I heard that call clarified by a professor named Carol Quigley, who said we should all be involved in this movement towards world government. Well, Professor Quigley had discovered there was a secret society that was running the world. It ties into central banking and people of great wealth, and their goal is to establish this one world government. They create war after war, and Professor Quigley was totally in sympathy with him. His book, first one, Anglo-American Establishment, he could never get his published while he was alive. He finished it in 1949. It was published after he died in about 1981. We carry the book. His book, Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World in Our Time, told the story. It was published because nobody bothered to read the intricacies of it. It was published by Macmillan, but immediately after the book was published, somebody bought up the publisher and shredded the books and would not reprint it. It was actually reprinted by a pirate and continues being printed by a pirate. The people who hold the patents of the book have never bothered to sue the pirates, so we carry the book. It's vitally important. And then, of course, Gary Allen wrote a book in 1971-72 called None Dare Call It Conspiracy. About 10,000 copies he got out. Most have been bought up and shredded. The last thing they want for you to do is to know what this is really about. But because of the exposure of the Council on Foreign Relations, why, of course, David Rockefeller created the Trilateral Commission. And between 1977 and 2009, every president and or vice president of the United States came to the membership roles of that organization.